You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Man, it's been a cool week. Let's see, Four Flights got new charts, Open Airplanes rocking the house, and you made it to Sun and Fun and back.
And I did, and I saw even more than that. How about iFlight Planner?
Yes.
I spent time with them as well, came out with an excellent new version of their flight planning software. It was a great, great show. I don't know how many of our listeners was able to make it down to Lakeland, but to see Sun and Fun this year, its 40th anniversary was a terrific, terrific experience all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded, you were showing me some of your little movies and things like that. I was just like, oh, man, I loved it. And it was pretty cool to once again see it through the social media scene of everything, everybody's tweets and Facebook posts and movies and everything. And it's like, man, I was this close to renting an airplane and flying down there to join you.
Well, if you had just gotten to us, we would have let you come with us.
Oh, well, thanks for the invite now.
Yeah, right. Well, it's easy. No, we would have definitely taken you. That was, let's just say, not expensive. Yes, the hotels were expensive. We didn't do the camping thing.
Really? So how much is a hotel during
Sun and Fun?
Sun and Fun.
Well, you know, the luxurious Days Inn, or was it the Days Inn? Yeah, Days Inn, 7 miles away, was over $200 a night.
Hey, that's cheap.
It's cheap. No, in Lakeland, kidding. Florida? Oh, my God.
No, that's awesome. That's really cool. And everything like that. It just looks like it was a great time. Talk about a great... I think this is going to be the new official kickoff for spring, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, spring doesn't come any time sooner, really, at least here in Chicago.
And I've got so much to talk about Sun and Fun. We just don't have enough time. But there's something I want to play for you. We didn't do that, so maybe technically we may not want to do that live.
Yeah.
One audio associated with a video, what people heard on my first landing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That would definitely have been awesome to know before the show. But
well, we were too busy talking to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we may try it a little bit later.
Yeah, we can.
If
we'll
if not,
something
I'll fake it.
Yeah, right. We got it here. So we've got 2 hours to figure it out.
We got 2 hours to figure it out, indeed. So I want to welcome all of our listeners. I'm Mark Eppner.
And I'm Al Waterloo, and this is Simple Flight Aviation Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central, we're broadcasting live from Papa Whiskey Kilo, Chicago Executive, or Palwaukee, whichever you choose to call it. And we've got a great show tonight.
Yes, we do.
We've got some guests. We've got some news. We've got some tweets. We've got things. As a matter of fact, we invite all our listeners, of course, to go to simpleflight.net and like us, follow us, tweet in your questions, email in your questions. There's plenty of links there to make that happen because you guys are certainly a major part of our show.
Yes, absolutely. And we love hearing from you live during our show. And for those of you in the Twitter world, make sure to tweet out to us live during the show using the hashtag SimpleFlight. And we're sitting here monitoring that as we go along. And we'll give you a shout out on the show. We love it. And don't forget to join our email list. I think you'll like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a little...
Which is, I guess, I learned that I'm the world's worst proofreader.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to say it. You are.
Yeah, I wouldn't award for that.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like reconciling your checkbook. You make the same mistakes over and over. You read it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I quickly looked at one of your announcements tonight, and I said, whoa. You know, don't put this out. Oops, too late. So, got a couple of missing words, a couple things there, but it had the right location, the right web link for the show. Are you reading it?
I'm just too embarrassed to read it.
Yeah, he's looking at it now, ladies and gentlemen, and he's going to say, did I write that? Just a couple things. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all right. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm only a pilot.
Yeah, right. So all you got to do is eat, be friendly, and have really good flying skills, and you're in the club.
Yeah.
We don't worry about grammatical or typographical or anything like that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I haven't read the latest news. I just want to quickly, because I know we got a lot to do here in a short amount of time. But everything I'm reading in the paper is that they're getting some 37.5 kilohertz pings from the Indian Ocean.
Right.
And that just happens to be the exact same frequency that a black box would emit.
Yes.
So hopefully that's a sign that they found the aircraft, because I am just so interested to know what happened.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's our flying club breakfast, which we have once a month. You were on your way back from Sun and Fun, and we had Mr. Rob Mark, who's in our flying club. You might hear him on the Airplane Geeks podcast or his new one, the Aviation Minute, but he had... he was up there giving a little presentation or talking about some of the things that he's been doing, covering the news behind mm-hmm. all that. And I think he may have even gotten a message from Fox News to be on Ready Alert saying, hey, they found a ping. We may call you.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, he's he makes the rounds, and certainly both locally and nationally, people have seen him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And whenever something bad happens, people want to talk to Rob.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but does a great job, and we're proud of him for being so out there with these kind of things.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, well, that's fantastic. We will hopefully there's some more developments on that as they get learn more.
So I'm not going to ask you to do this thing, but maybe this is an appropriate time. When I went down to Sun and Fun, the first night, I had the opportunity to stay at a private Southern Florida aviation community.
Nice. We're
talking big houses and nice runway and big hangars and all of that. And I was with one of our other members. We flew down there in the 22, and they said, yeah, you can keep it at one of the houses. As a matter of fact, what was amazing, the one place we had, the guy, I don't think he was, no, he wasn't a pilot. He collected old gas pumps.
Wow.
And he just filled up. And he said, this is the first time I've had an airplane in my hangar, and now I see why I don't want to. It takes up too much room. But get this. See, when you land at a private airport, I learned something. Even though it was in all the databases.
Yes.
With the Cirrus, at least, it thinks you're going to crash.
Really?
So all the way down, it was yelling at me. And here, let me just... it was yelling at me some warnings that we're going to, yeah, I know. Al's going to try. He's explaining it to me. Let me pull it up here. But while we're doing that, it was excellent community, the nicest people, regardless of their, how do I say, their financial well-being. They were just exactly like us, loved aviation. And, you know, one guy had 5 airplanes and 2 helicopters. Not something that you see in every day, but... certainly something that, again, when we talk about it, he said, I love flying. I mean, it was no different.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. That sounds like it was a great time, great experience. And the old gas pumps, those things are pretty cool. That's like, what's that show on the History Channel? I forget. It's like the antique show that where they go on. Pickers, that's what they,
yeah.
It sounds like that would be, that's definitely really cool. You got that thing queued up there yet?
No, you kind of hit me with it. Look at it. So talk about something. Oh, yes, I do, right here.
All right.
This is it. So how do we do this?
Yeah, here, just hand it over.
Okay, it's that one right there.
All right,
and we have to turn up volumes or something. Let's see. This is what we heard landing in the 22.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think that's the one.
All right, so let's do this here. So 22.
Pull up.
Wow.
Pull up.
I think he wants you to pull up.
You think?
Pull up.
Yeah.
Pull up.
Wow.
Pull up.
And it's not over yet.
Pull up. Pull
Flap
up.
Underspeed is in the background.
Pull up. Pull up.
Wow.
And so we had that all the way in. The other thing we had was terrain. At least I knew where the terrain inhibit button was. So you have the flap under speed, you have the terrain and the pull up. And then on the takeoff roll out of there, the same thing. Because it thinks there's no airport there, right? And you're at ground level.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about distracting, annoying, and all that. Now you're just trying to make a good landing. So how does that happen? Again, there was no – it was in the database. We put in the identifier. The airport came up.
Right.
So why did it know we were at an airport?
Why didn't it know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's navigation databases, but then there's also terrain and, like, obstacle databases.
Okay.
Yeah, so it could be in one data, you know, even if it's a navigational fix, it could not be in a terrain database.
Well, that's why I figured the terrain, so I hit the little button way on the left that says terrain inhibit, and it stopped yelling terrain. But pull up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was like, how do we stop it? And you're just focused. And I was only sitting right seat at that point, but I just felt sorry for the pilot.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Crazy stuff. But, I wanted to, you remember, a fine lady named Janine Iannarelli from Paravion?
Paravion,
yeah.
LTD, limited, yeah.
Right. Well, it's the end of, the quarter one in 2014, and it's the beginning of the second quarter here. And, I wanted to invite her on and give us a quarterly wrap up and kind of, how the second quarter is looking in the business jet market and things like that, and get a little update from her. So let's get her on the line.
It'll be good to talk to her again.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, Janine Iannarelli from Paravion, real quick.
I love the way you say that, Paravion.
Yes. Janine.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
Hey there. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, outstanding.
Wonderful.
Outstanding. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight and everything, and pushing a couple tweets and Facebook posts out. That's always exciting and things like that. But hey, how was the first quarter in the business jet market?
Oh, well, first quarter probably didn't get off to as quite a roaring start as we had all hoped that it would. I personally had a few ups and downs, excuse the pun. Yeah, all good, though. Soft landings, I'd have to say. You know, the first quarter, in looking over the data and in speaking with my peers within the market, it was more or less a repeat of what last year was. I don't think that there are any real big revelations. You know, carry over from the fourth quarter. We may have discussed this on our last call, so stop me if we have. But G650s, still the hot ticket out there.
Wow.
You're lucky enough to be able to offer one. You're pretty much going to sell it at a premium.
Wow.
We see them trading at 10% above their initial purchase price.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty
interesting.
That's
the investment I wish I had made.
You know, I'm sure Gulfstream qualified people pretty aggressively in the beginning, and, you know, their order book was outstanding from the moment they offered it. And I don't think they had but a handful, perhaps, cancellations through the Great Recession here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's the bright spot. I would say continuing on a steady pace are fairly new small jet aircraft. I'll put the CJ2, CJ3 into that category, CJ2 plus. To some degree, perhaps Lear 31As. Super midsize, still pretty sluggish. We see, I would say, normal depreciation schedules in select super midsize airplane, and in others where they're starting to get a little long in the tooth, you know, close to 20 years of age, still floating with new bottoms.
That's interesting. So what would be a, what would give us an example of a super midsize?
Falcon 2000 EX.
That's
Challenger 300.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
Yeah, those are really cool. They have I see a lot of those actually flying around, but it doesn't seem like the trading market or the market for those is, it sounds like it hasn't really picked up quite as much as the other elements of the biz jet market.
No, we still have inventory on the resale marketplace exceeding 10% of what was produced, and anytime you exceed 10%, it's a buyer's market still.
Gotcha. Well, hey, you. Last time you were on the show, you had a really exciting announcement that you were opening an office in New York. How's that going?
Well, so far so good. You know, it's still, how should I say, finding its footing in that marketplace. I don't think that weather was a big help for us, because the salesperson I have in that office likes to get out and glad hand people, which I'm all about. And given its location to three significant metro airports, you know, the weather was pretty daunting. I made one trip up there. I think we spoke during that trip, and I encountered two snowfalls within 3 days that accumulated 10 inches each time. I was not a happy camper coming from the South.
Yeah, but only two in 3 days. If you had been in Chicago, it would have been four in 2 days.
And that's why I wasn't in Chicago all winter.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's great. I think you're right about the weather has certainly played a big deal in a lot of this. It's, you know, coming off the back end of, what has been certainly the toughest weather, winter weather in a long time. And I think that just all across the board, you know, I was at a pilot meeting, just kind of a general aviation single engine piston kind of pilot group. And that was the first time anybody had really been out to an airport in all winter. And it was kind of, interesting. So on all spectrums of this, I think I think that's pretty normal with the weather.
Yeah, it really hampered our ability to reach out to the local community and reassert our position in that very important marketplace. But I do expect things to change as we move into the warmer weather. And the good thing is we got a lot of phone calling in, because what are you going to do other when you're sitting at your desk? You do that proverbial dial for dollars.
Well, you know, this actually brings up a point, and I'm going to connect to a blog that I see that you wrote on March 27th. That you entitled "Don't Bank on It." As we think about jets and all that, and is it hot? Is it not hot? You know, certainly one of the things I imagine you have to do as a professional sales exec in this industry is pre-qualification, understanding, you know, are people going to be able to pay for it? You alluded to that here, and it sounds like the banks aren't always working for you or with you. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, you know, that was an interesting experience that I had. It's certainly not something that's new to me, but usually I'm on the side of the bank where we are seizing the asset or helping them with the seizure of the asset. And it's a good point you raise in terms of pre-qualifying. And frankly, most of us in the aircraft sales industry, I think we blindly, maybe not naively, but with open arms embrace most of the prospects that come to us. I have to say that in the course of my career that maybe I've let one or two quote unquote flakes take it a little bit further down the road than otherwise I might have allowed with trying to transact a deal. But people who aren't really ready to make the purchase or are not qualified out themselves pretty quickly. I mean, there's some good qualifying questions that you can put to them. Timing is one of them. You know, how quickly do they intend to exercise their option on an airplane, what sort of due diligence and how quickly. I weed out the tire kickers pretty well before we get to the point where we make an introduction or even a showing of the airplane. That being said, the experience I just had was an anomaly and not something that I anticipated, and I don't think my client did. We're victims of a market that's still struggling. And an aircraft, the make and model of aircraft that we had offered for sale, is not the most popular model. Even in the best of times, it's a niche market where relatively few people will even entertain the idea of this particular airplane. Nothing against the airplane itself. It's just the way it's evolved over time. have to say the aircraft's not the sexiest looking aircraft out there. And if you all are familiar with the Astra SPX, and it's a great performer.
Right.
Great workhorse. But, you know, as far as curb appeal, leaves something to be desired there.
Right.
No offense to IAI. But that all being said, the situation arose where a client of mine had a non-recourse loan that came to maturity last month. And they advised the financial institution that it was not their intention to continue with this aircraft. And the option was available, certainly, that they could come collect the airplane. They would be within their right to do so, or alternatively work with us while we had a transaction ongoing. And the long and the short of it is that the bank or the lender really gave the client limited time in which to consummate a transaction, which caught us all off guard in light of the fact that we thought everyone was pretty much privy to the fact that nothing goes as planned, or at least nothing has gone as planned over the last 5 years, that unexpected turbulence is encountered and deals get upset. And as the pilot of the transaction, I'm always there to right the ship. They wouldn't have anything of it. In fact, you know, basically became incommunicado, exercised their right, and moved forward with a planned auction of the airplane, which is set for next week. And totally discounted our retail deal. So,
wow, that sounds super frustrating.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Extremely frustrating for all concerned. You know, the buyer moved on. Qualified buyer just needed a little bit more time. He moved on and bought another airplane.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. So, like, is you as a broker, you know, describe your role really quick, you know, while trying to, you know, I guess salvage a deal like this.
Well, you know, I wasn't privy to all the details initially because, frankly, I didn't need to know, and I trusted in the fact that my client had an open dialogue and obviously was getting some cooperation. They let me in on the fact that they were having some difficulty dealing with the lender, and you know, I let it go for about another week. And in hindsight, I probably should have taken greater control early on, because I reached out to people that I knew in the financial institution, though at the end of the day, it fell on deaf ears, but advised and counseled both their legal counsel as well as the officers as to what our options were and what we could get done. And frankly, started cracking the whip with our buyer, who was dragging things a little bit. Again, in hindsight, had I maybe moved a little bit quicker, maybe we'd have a deal today. It's hard to say. But that's my role, is to anticipate problems and then, of course, fix them. And usually that's what I do well in advance of the problem becoming a big problem. And this was something that just, without cooperation, there's not much you can do.
Right. Wow. Well, that's that sounds like it could be a very unfortunate case, and it's weird that you know the banks might not see reason. You know, it's reasoning and behind all this, but I don't know.
That's
just sure. Say that again.
Reason. That is the comment that my client echoed many times in the course of our conversation. He said that they're just not reasoning or being reasonable. And that was the mind-boggling part of it all, when you realize repossession of an asset automatically taints the value of the asset regardless. There is no way that the financial institution would be able to bring the product to market. I mean, secondly, they're starting all over again, right? You know, the process that we have just employed for X amount of months is wiped off the map. They need to start over again, which incurs some real costs in doing so. They have an uphill battle, and now they have a diminished market for potential buyers because the buyers have gotten wind of the fact that, one, the airplane was off the market and they've done other things. And now you're going to sell it, and anyone who's a potential buyer for a auctioned item sees it as a distressed asset.
Right. I'm sitting here wondering why anyone would say we'd want to auction off a distressed asset when you have a pending retail transaction.
Well, you know, there's always risk. And even the pending retail transaction could have fallen flat on its face. We'll never know, because we were never allowed to take it to fruition, or to at least the last, you know, stopgap, if you will. But in absence of having anything else on the table, And the upside being that you recapture most of what you loaned, why not invest just a little bit more time?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, my takeaway on the matter is that I will look much more closely at anyone who approaches me and says, we'd like to offer our services, that being finance, to your clientele. Because I have now learned that you really need to know who you're doing business with, because if things don't go well down the road, you want to know who you're dealing with on the back end of your transaction.
Right.
And it's probably, and I made the statement in my blog, but I'll step back a bit from it and say, you know, large lenders are pretty impersonal. And I would tend to lean towards the smaller lender because you are a bigger part of their overall portfolio. And I would think that they are going to be conciliatory and reasonable, knowing that they have much more as a percentage of their portfolio at risk.
Wow. Oh, those are some interesting hurdles in the airplane world that I think a lot of people don't ever even realize, and you know, the amounts of money and the relationships that are being exchanged and things like that. It's really important to develop that level of trust, and that's certainly been one topic and theme that you've always brought up every time you've come on the show. And it sounds like you have an outstanding due diligence process as a broker on figuring that out. So very, very nice.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say that there is a checklist that we would use. I mean, certainly there's, over time, you develop key questions that go to the heart of the matter and help you to determine who you're working with, their financial stability, their willingness, their eagerness to conduct a transaction. But the rest of it, Al, I think, is just intuition and, let's say, a little bit of street smarts and, of course, experience.
Right.
You start to categorize potential buyers to a certain degree, and you quickly ascertain which category the party that you're speaking with falls into.
Right, absolutely. Well, hey, Janine, to learn a little bit more about this, do you want to tell us where we can find the blog article that you wrote on this?
Oh, absolutely. You can find it in two locations, actually, but it's hosted at our website, www.paravionltd, and you'll see a icon in the upper right-hand corner for the blog. And it's also hosted at appbuyer.com. So either location, you can find it.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, Janine, thank you so much for a great update and an interesting look on maybe not necessarily all the glitz and glamour of the job and where things might go wrong. But we appreciate you being very transparent on everything. And we look forward to having you at the end of quarter two.
I'll look forward to it. Hopefully we'll have some really good news to report.
I think we will. Thanks, Janine.
Thanks so much.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. That can get complicated.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I don't deal with near as complicated stuff, or at least not individuals that, you know, spend that kind of money. But certainly I know the complexity involved in any large transaction is that people like Janine earn their money, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
They're quarterbacking major finance and big things. But anyway, that's good. I appreciated the industry update, and sounds like Gulfstream's doing great. I was going to ask her about the Jetstar we have here. I wonder if there's any market for that, but that'll be next quarter when we talk to her.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's that'll be good. Oh, I think that Jetstar will still be in the hangar.
Yeah. But if you know what, if the guy ever wants to sell it, maybe Janine can help move it for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Go. There you go.
Well, hey, while we're sitting here, we're talking to Janine. We got some really great tweets from our main guest tonight. And hey, look at that. We asked a couple minutes ago, and you know, 30 minutes later, we got our own custom artwork.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the tweet, and I thought that's pretty cool. That you know, as our listeners will find out very shortly, the type of work that Ryan Miller of 08 Left does and all of that. So I think we should let him tell his own story.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody, welcome onto the show, Ryan Miller from 08left.com. He's doing some really cool things with aviation art and all that. But anyway, Ryan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Really good.
Yeah, so we're sitting here with the big smiles on our face. Like we said about 35 minutes ago, we said, hey, where's Papa Whiskey Kilo? And now we see one.
How do you do that? My aim is to please. So I thought I would rip it out for you before I got on the air.
Nice.
You do fast work.
Yeah.
That's but of course, everyone at home is now saying, what are they talking about? So tell us a little bit about 08 Left.
08 Left is just a line of modern art, I guess you could say, that I still don't really know how to describe it well. It's art for airport lovers, pilots, air traffic controllers, really anyone who likes to travel and has a little bit of a love for the whole, the art of flying, I guess you could say. So it's something we started, my wife and I, this last year actually on its own, and it's been really fun deal so far.
Well, if you're just looking for people that love aviation, I think you've come to the right place.
I think I have. I would agree.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So the catalyst, this thing, so you started it this year and everything, but what was there like an aha moment in things like that where you said, hey, yeah, I kind of want to make some aviation art?
I don't know if it was an aha moment. I've just, the more I've gotten into design, I've always, since I was a kid, loved aviation and anything to do with it. When I was in elementary school, I asked for a scanner for Christmas, and my dad and I would go to SeaTac in Seattle and listen to the air traffic control and film the airplanes. So I was a weird kid. Maybe I was a very normal kid for everyone on this show.
Yeah, I think so. I think you just called me weird.
Yeah, you're everybody. Yeah, you're everybody's hero.
I called myself weird as well then.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
But finally it just got to a point where I wanted to make some art for places we had been and kind of an angle that I would hang in my house that I wasn't able to buy, which is often how good things start. So made it for ourselves, and we had it on another site of ours that's more focused on a different kind of design. And in January, we put it on its own deal, 08 Left, and we'll see where it goes from there.
That's excellent. So tell us a little bit about the background of your design and creativity.
Yeah, I was in high school. My brothers, so this was 20 years ago now, my brothers started working on a video game called Myst, which I don't know how many of your listeners have ever played, but it was
pretty big
back in the day.
Yeah. I remember.
Was a good game.
It was a fun game, yeah. So I ended up going to college for a couple years and actually dropping out to go work for my brothers at Cyan. And I worked for them for quite a while doing all kinds of design and different forms of writing and video editing and all that kind of thing. And while I was there, my wife wanted some birthday invites for our then one-year-old daughter. And it was kind of one of those deals, again, just like 08 Left, where we couldn't find any of the cards we wanted. So I said, well, I'll just design them myself. I made a website. We started a website called Mango Inc. And it took off a little bit. We got into some right circles and found some great clients that have been with us for 9 years. And we put up these airport prints on Mango Inc. for a while, but it just wasn't the place for them to live. So that's where we started our own site for those. But yeah, that's my background in design. Mostly I've just learned it all on my own and messed around with Photoshop and Illustrator here and there. And, you know,
I have to ask, where does the name 08 Left come from?
It's, as you know, just a runway designation. And I think, actually, I'm pretty sure there is a 08 Left in Paris, which is one of our favorite places. My brother lived in Paris for a year, so we got to all go there 4 years ago and visit for 2 weeks. And I'm pretty sure 08 Left is at Charles de Gaulle Airport, but I don't even know if it has anything to do with that. It was available, and I wanted a runway designation. So
the truth comes out. Sure, you heard it here first.
Yeah,
that's really excellent. So going through to kind of the product line here on 08left.com, what are some of the different things that you guys make?
Well, we make the airport prints, which are basically the airport diagrams with a little bit of graphic design flair to those. And then we do some ATC prints, which is kind of the airport codes with field elevation and just some air traffic control frequencies on those. And then we do international prints, which I would love to do airport diagrams and air traffic control stuff for as well. But some of those are, well, there's, I'm not sure on all the legal stuff actually yet for international stuff. Those are our three main lines. And then we have mugs and notepads and lunch boxes of all things just for fun. And then we sell a variety of items through Society 6 partnership, which includes, oh my gosh, shower curtains and clocks and rugs and anything you can imagine practically. So our main aim, we sell our prints, and those are fine art prints and metal prints and poster prints.
So when you say metal prints, it's like etched into metal?
The metal prints are really cool. It's sheets of aluminum that it's printed onto. So you can put those out in the snow, in the rain, in whatever you want to. And they're a really cool look. I have a couple of them hanging up here right next to me. So they actually put the dye onto the aluminum, and it prints onto there. And we actually have some cool stuff potentially in the future that will feature the metal a little bit more, which I think will be really cool. But yeah, they're actually printed onto metal sheets.
Wow.
Yeah, that is really cool. So that's a lot of fun. How did you get the kind of like the medium for that, you know, just to start printing things on, you know, airport diagrams on metal?
We work with some other partners, and we've done that kind of stuff again through Mango Ink. So a lot of things just came together kind of perfectly for us. So we're in a good relationship with some printers, and we were able to kind of work out some things with them and start doing that. So metal print, you'll actually find, once you start looking into it, more people are doing them, and I'm not sure why they haven't caught on. To me, they're one of the coolest things out there. And when you feel them and see them, they really are awesome. And if you start looking, a lot of people sell them, and you just don't hear about them often. So I don't know why, but they fit the airports really well.
And I was going through your website, and I don't know if you used the word overwhelmed or whatever, but I started thinking, okay, you know, Papa Whiskey Kilo, or I saw you had Iowa City on there, a favorite airport of mine. And then I started going through the options, the size, with frames, without, the type of paper, or aluminum. You know, it was like, I don't know. I just want to see Papa Whiskey Kilo. What's like the number one seller? What are people mostly going with in your early days here of the company?
For mediums or airports?
For mediums. I'm sorry. Actually, probably ask the other question later on, but for the medium that it actually goes on.
It just depends on what people want, really. And it does get a little confusing, but we added the poster prints because a lot of people wanted a less expensive option. So I would say the big sellers are the metals, which we're pretty clear. If you want the best thing we offer, the metal print is by far, it's awesome. It is a little on the expensive side for some people, and they maybe want 10 of them, which, you know, that adds up pretty quickly. So the fine art print would be our least best seller, just because it's a,
I like that.
Yeah. It's pretty expensive, very nice museum quality paper. And then the poster prints, we sell quite a few of as well, just because they're a less expensive option to get what you want. And then framing is, it just varies. Some people want framing, some people want to do it themselves, but we figured we would just at least offer it and give people the option.
Yeah, this stuff's really, really cool. I got to say, so I had a, when I first discovered you guys, I was just like finishing this, like, I got Netflix binge of Breaking Bad. So
that is hilarious. We have two episodes to go, my family.
Oh man.
I would be watching it right now.
Yeah. Al, don't mess it up. Yeah.
So spoiler at the alert. End, no, I'm just kidding. No, but I was like looking at the Albuquerque stuff that you have on the website, and I was just like, I was about ready to order one of everything Albuquerque, you know, just because I just like, oh, I was just so fixated on that from Breaking
That's
Bad.
That's hilarious. I've thought the same thing, actually. Although I was born in Albuquerque, so I have a lot of good reasons to have Albuquerque.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. So, And so with all this, you have a going on, you know, it's kind of a relatively new company. How is everybody's like perception, or how are you being received so far in the AvGeek world?
Really well. I think the AvGeek world is what's made us take off, no pun intended. But we've had, again, a lot of pilots, air traffic controllers, which is just fun for me to even talk to pilots like I am now, or air traffic controllers. And then once it gets into a certain tower or, you know, a circle, it spreads there just because it's kind of one of the things that you talk about and show people. So there's been awesome reception with in that world. And then there's actually been a really great reception in the, I don't even know what you call it, the modern design / furniture world as well. We were just accepted into the Contemporary Furniture Trade Show in New York in May, which was kind of a surprise, but we're really excited about that. So it does cross into a lot of areas of life, although obviously I think the AvGeeks are the ones that are most excited about it.
Yeah, we call that passion.
Yeah, passion, exactly. Yeah. You got it.
Exactly. Well, that's really cool. So offline, we were talking about this, and that, you know, some actual, you know, airports and airport authorities were contacting you about putting your art places.
Yeah, we were, which I don't even, I guess I'll just not name the name. I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, an airport down in the LA area has contacted us, and they wanted us to add their airport, so we did. And then we've been talking with some other airports on potential art exhibits in terminals, which would be really, really cool and exciting. And I don't even know what that means, but it sounds awesome. So we'll see what happens there.
You know, normally when someone like yourself gets on, and I love airplanes, but art's my thing, the sense I'm getting here, if I've heard right, it's not that you were professionally trained or studied art design. You've just kind of figured it out, and you had fun with Photoshop and such. Is that correct? Or have you had always that artistic flair, and it just, this is how it's coming through?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it's always been something in the background, and design and creativity have been in my life since I can remember in one form or another. So video games was a lot of art / design / creativity. And I don't have any formal training, that is correct, in design, although it's something I've been doing a while now and I do have a passion for. And so, yeah, it's been something I've kind of picked up and had a lot of fun with, because when you get to make your own art that you want to hang in your house, it's a really fun world.
Oh,
and then if other people like it, frosting on the cake, but
yeah,
it's pretty fun to make stuff that you get that you exactly like you want, and to see if other people have that same look and excitement is just makes it even that much more exciting.
Yeah, right. So if we were like walking through your house, where would we see like these airport diagrams and stuff like hanging up in your home?
Well, for sure in my office I've got them, and then we have some in our dining room actually, which the kids and all of us picked kind of some of our favorite spots that we've traveled to. So we hang those up in our dining room, and again, it's pretty cool because it does just remind you of trips you've had. And my daughter just ordered a pair of CDG sweatshirt. She wanted that for her birthday. And again, my daughter's a freshman in high school, which you wouldn't think she'd be wearing air traffic and control stuff around high school, but she loves it. And it's a good reminder of the trip there. So, it's fun. It's fun for all of us to just remember those trips and again, kind of an AvGeek way.
Now, you mentioned that you and your wife are in the business. Is what's her role in terms of, is it, you know, the art side of it? Is it picking out what, or is it just kind of whatever jobs you both just pick it up?
We do. She is a lot on the Mango Ink side. She does a lot of the design and ideas. She's more in the worlds of holiday cards and wedding announcements than I am, especially with 08 left. I've that's really where I'd rather live than making holiday cards. No offense to the people that have bought holiday cards from us. But, it's just much more exciting for me. So she actually does a fair amount of design on a more blue sky level. And then she also just runs a lot of the social media and the books and, you know, all that real fun stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So one thing I'm really fascinated about is, you know, so if you go to 08left.com, you've got a little thing at the top that says see us at Design Boom, which I'm guessing that's the design show that you're going to in New York City.
Yeah.
And this is cool because one of the themes that we always have on our show here is that, you know, we kind of always like, you know, salute people that are kind of ambassadors to aviation in an interesting way. And this is definitely an interesting way, right? You're going to a furniture show and aviation's being represented, right?
Yeah.
And that's like such a cool thing, like putting like two and two together or whatnot and all that. So like outside of, you know, the Av geeks are like going nuts for this stuff, right? So how about like in the outside world? Obviously, you got invited to the Design Boom convention show, but you know, how is do people just like the art, you know, or you know, because of how it looks, or do they kind of get some of the aviation meaning behind this stuff for people that aren't Av geeks?
There are a lot of people who, I don't know where the blend happens. I've had people who tell me they hate flying and airports, but they love our stuff. So I don't know what that means. but we've had quite a few people. In fact, just what was it the other day? I made a couple prints for a guy who went to 3 airports on his honeymoon and he wanted to have them all for the honeymoon. So I'm not sure that he was a big aviation geek, just travelers really. And I don't know. They have a certain look to them that is appealing, I think, to some people who aren't even necessarily in the aviation world, who want to maybe, I don't know, actually, that's a great question. It is hard to imagine someone who really hates an airport ordering one, but you never know. I don't know.
I guess you don't want to make one for Santa Monica.
Yeah, so right.
I don't know if you've been following the news at all, but the Santa Monica Airport's like it's got a bullseye on its back for at least the city of shutting it down and all that.
Seriously, I haven't heard that.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah. It's a daily battle to keep it open, but you know, people don't understand
Santa Monica.
They don't understand the value. So as I look at these things, an image behind the letters, right? So I'm looking at CDG, PEK, NRT. What is the image behind each of the alpha characters?
Are you talking about the international prints?
Oh, I am looking at international custom prints, yes.
Yeah, okay. That's just a texture, basically. No image in particular. It's more of just kind of textured letters to make it not so crisp on the print, really.
Yeah,
so
nice. Really
nothing
like
too
that.
Secret there.
Oh, okay, no secret sauce.
No secret sauce.
So you will imprint this on pretty much anything. I mean, you have the lunch boxes and the coffee mugs and the coasters, but will you put it on anything?
What do you mean by that?
Well, because my follow-on question, what's the weirdest thing? And I realize this is still kind of early and I can't even think of the word, Al. You know, the company is still quite young.
They're still young, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking there must be some really weird requests. Yeah, I want this airport identifier on a banana.
Honestly, some of the stuff we offer to me is pretty weird in a cool way. I mean, a shower curtain I think is pretty interesting for an ATC.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I would think it would be, and to me, it's kind of like your perfect canvas. It's big, and it opens up. It seems to me the shower curtain would absolutely be almost commonsensical.
Yeah, it's true. When you think about it, actually, I'm not sure we've had anyone requesting an item that we don't already offer just because, you know, I don't know. No one's in particular requested. I think we offer plenty, actually. I mean, if you have an ATC print on all the things we offer, you might be pretty sick of that airport eventually.
Yeah. This stuff's just a riot. I know my mom. She's a career artist, which is really cool, and be able to see some of the creativity that goes into a lot of the stuff and behind all this, and she's done some, you know, some commission work for, you know, larger organizations, which is really cool. And
very cool.
For you guys, as such a young company and artist yourself, to be invited to go to design artwork for an airline terminal, I mean, that's a pretty big deal and a pretty big honor.
And only 2 months into the company.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you guys got to be really cranked about the direction all this stuff is headed.
It really is exciting, and I think I said when we were off air, Seth Godin is a big fan. I'm a big fan of his, and just his whole outlook on business and working. And 08 Left to me is the prime example of something I love doing, and if no one bought it, I would probably still love it anyway. And the fact that people are appreciating it and inviting us to furniture fairs and airports are contacting us is just frosting on the cake. It truly is. And me and my wife get giddy about the possibilities with this. And it's honestly just, you said passion earlier though, it's just truly is. It's just a blast. And I'm grateful to have a job where it's a blast.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really cool, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun. I'm quite jealous. So we've got a couple tweets coming in right now, and somebody just calling out Mark for saying, "Hey," and I missed this.
Oh,
put that aircraft identifier on a banana.
He says, "Did I just hear M. Eppner say put the aircraft identifier on a banana?" I did say that. I was just trying to be out there. I'm now. Well, now
that
I'm
would,
really
that
out
would
there.
Win the award, I think, for the most weird thing to put it on.
Yeah, right. Right. I start seeing this stuff at like farmers markets and stuff, and bananas and avocados and apples.
Yeah, I'll take a cherry with Pewaukee, please.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So there, we actually have a couple requests coming out. There is somebody's asking if there's a way to get a CGX, which is the old Migs Field. It was 10-year anniversary of that airport actually closing. But then, another international one, YTZ, the Toronto Island Airport, which is really cool. So I don't know. So people can they make specific requests like that?
They definitely can. And when we first launched, I was happy for the requests, and we would turn them around within a week. And now I'm starting to feel bad, because people request stuff and I have a giant list of requests that I'm not able to get to as fast as I would like to. So I will definitely add every request we get to a list, and I just hope people don't get frustrated with how long it takes. But I do get to most of them, and I will someday get to yours. It just may be longer.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I got mine in 35 minutes.
Well, you know, because you're hosting a show, so yeah. I had to give you a special perk.
Sounds like you need to be on Shark Tank, and they'll put the production facilities in place for you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Definitely. Oh, that's awesome. So I'm very curious about this, and I think this is awesome. But offline, you mentioned that you're not a pilot, but you'd love to take some lessons and everything like that. And you know, how where'd your love for aviation kind of stem from? I know you said SeaTac was right down the street, but what else?
I don't know. We moved a ton when I was a kid, so we traveled a lot. I flew a lot. I think probably most kids love flying, I would say. This is a crazy experience, I'll tell you. As pilots, you'll appreciate this. We lived in Haiti for a couple years. So I was in fifth and sixth grade in Haiti. And we were flying Air Haiti from Port-au-Prince to Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, the country that shares the island with Haiti. And Air Haiti had a bunch of DC-3s. And these things were old, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, light and air seeping in around the doors, and Air Haiti was just a rough airline, but we flew them. And so we got on the plane, and the pilots, I'm in awe, I'm a little kid, and the pilot says, "Oh, you know, you like flying?" I said, "Oh, I love it." And he says, "Well, why don't you come and sit in the cockpit up front while we take off?" And I thought, "Oh my gosh." So I'm freaking out, this little kid. Well, I end up staying the entire flight in the cockpit. About midway through the flight, and there's passengers on this plane. My parents are two of them, who have no idea what's happening. He puts me in the captain's chair. And he tells me, "Yeah, right around this cloud, just bank to the left a little bit." And the co-pilot's, of course, sitting in his seat as well. But I literally turned this plane, and my parents are invited up by the captain. They say, "Look at your son, look at your son." And they're freaking out. I'm sitting in the captain's chair, turning the plane. So that was Air Haiti for you.
And all these paying passengers, how old were you at the time? How old were you?
It was fifth or sixth grade. I mean, I was in elementary school. It was unbelievable.
My goodness.
That's then awesome. On the way home, I was, of course, so excited to get back in the cockpit. And it turns out that there was a FAA inspector that my dad knew who was waiting on the tarmac before we got on the plane. And my dad walks up and introduces himself. And it was the same pilot. And the pilot's face, he turned white, scared to death that my dad would tell him what had just happened. But he didn't. So it was a pretty funny story.
Yeah, well, I think about the amount of flack, and of course, now we're talking post 2001. But that controller JFK that had his son clearing, and everyone ballistic. I mean, obviously, nothing was going to go wrong.
Right.
But the non-educated non-aviation public, you know, just all they thought these kids were clearing people to take off and land. So, could you imagine what you did now and how that?
Oh my gosh.
Little Johnny just turned the plane to avoid a cloud with all these
It was – it cemented my love for airplanes, though. It's pretty funny what that does. So, yeah, I've just always loved them.
So is there, with all of this newfound fame and success, a pilot's license in the future for you?
Well, I hope so.
Well, I know only one person that can make that decision.
It takes some time, too, right?
Yeah, but you can enjoy the ride. It doesn't have to be done in a week.
It's true. No, I've actually been talking to my wife, and I'm ready to get started. I think I've put it off too long, so hopefully it will be pretty soon.
You know what we should do is do your license. We'll pack up a bunch of 08 left prints, depart out of Seattle, and do your training on the way to Oshkosh. You could set up a booth at Oshkosh, sell some prints, and then finish the training on the way home.
That sounds like an amazing plan.
Yeah.
It'll pay for his lessons.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. That would be ideal.
Exactly. So speaking of Oshkosh, there's some people on Twitter right now asking, are you going to be there?
Well, that's funny. We were just talking about it off air, and I'm seriously looking at it and considering it. I already talked to my wife about it even. So we have to look into that, but I would love to. So what, 70% chance maybe that we'll be there?
That is cool. Yeah, and it all started here, Al.
Yeah, exactly.
it's cool. I think that this people would start walking around and, you know, I could see Mark being the only guy at Oshkosh walking around with like a PDK banana or something like that.
And darn proud of it.
Yeah, where'd you get that snack? or like a little food stencil or something like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe we could sell them at Oshkosh. It's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 08 left French toast with a little powder sugar dusting.
You got my mind going. I'm sure Ryan's is as well. You know, I can just see now you'll have a form that you'll just push into the French toast so that you'll see it just before you eat it, right? You press the little template in. What do they call those, like cookie cutters?
Oh, the branding.
It's pretty genius, actually.
Yeah, it is. See, I'm pretty creative, too. Bring me into the business.
You are. Should become a partner.
Yeah.
All right. Sold.
Yeah. So, going on to the website here, it looks like there's some really cool things. I definitely encourage our listeners to check out 08left.com. You can follow everybody, follow 08 Left on Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You see the little social icon buttons down there. But there's a little freebie section on the site. Explain that.
That's a Seth Godin thing. Seth Godin says which I love. Always give away free gifts. And again, I wanted some desktops, some iPhone backgrounds. So I said, let's just make some and give them away, which I should actually make some more of those. There's not many on there, but it's just one of those things. There's no, we don't even have our logo on them. It's just fun to give stuff away, honestly. So
yeah,
there's a little section where you get free stuff.
Yeah, definitely. There's a, it looks like there, you know, a computer desktop backgrounds of, air traffic control things, and then the iPhone wallpapers, which is pretty cool. I'm definitely rocking the O'Hare one right now. It's
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do you have one on yours?
I do, yeah. I have we're in Spokane, Washington on the east side of the state, so I have Geiger, which is the GEG there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's a fun airport to fly into. I always like Spokane a lot.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what about, as you know, you have a couple other things here going on, which is you have the air traffic control prints, but everything. What are the trip and the go prints?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked. The trip prints are basically, just for the record, a lot of our stuff is pretty personalized. So you can change the colors on any print we offer. So if you'd rather match O'Hare and you want, you know, Miami Airport, we're up to do that anytime. And then the trip prints are just a very personalized kind of trip memory. So you can see that there's a JFK one with certain whatever tourist destinations, and we're happy to put anything people want on there. Any photos on the take a picture. Those are basically just a memory of your trip with places that you went that you want to remember, and then pictures or however you want to do those. There's a few different options, which I think we might do more of those in the future. And then the go prints are just those are more of your traditional kind of art, if you will. So those are just some fun I had a while ago, and I put them up on the site as just art pieces, a little bit different than the, obviously quite a bit different than the airport prints and the ATC stuff.
Yeah.
So who put the website together? Specifically, I'm on the FAQ page, and I love the, it's a very casual, like, are you good? I don't get the whole modifications and proof thing. I mean, it's just the way it asks the questions, or I especially love it when you say you don't make mistakes, when they ask if a mistake is made. Who's yeah. that? You or your wife that put that together?
I think we both did a little bit of that, but we're pretty casual people again. It's at the end of the day, it's fun. We want to have fun with the company. We want people to not feel stuffy, and we're in this just to make money, but to actually get to know people and, I mean, do the kind of stuff I'm doing right now. This is what makes it so much fun, to meet new people and have conversations. And with our other business, we've had families who we've done their holiday cards for, 8 or 9 years in a row, and we've actually watched them grow up, and we've visited them in other cities, and that's kind of just our vibe. We're just low-key, laid-back, and that's what you sense when you're reading our fact page even.
Yeah, that's cool. So I guess as I think about the proof thing, the question, I don't get the whole modifications and proof thing. I was going through the experience, right, the user experience, and it says, do you want a proof or not? Why would someone not want it, or why would someone want it? Is it only if it's a custom thing that you do it?
Yeah, just the custom stuff, and then, again, the color changes, and we actually are pretty a little more specific now. If you do color changes or basically anything, we pretty much send you a proof unless you just want it as is. That's another thing I would also tell your listeners, is that even on the desktops, wallpaper, if anyone sees anything they want that we don't offer, we would love to know. Even if it's a shower curtain for whatever, PWK, let us know and we can get that stuff up. Usually pretty easy. So again, I think people don't realize how we want to hear what people want and you know, give them the art they want to hang in their house. So we're up for anything.
That's pretty gnarly. So one of your customers, who's a member of our flying club here, had mentioned he had bought some stuff and he posted some photos on Google Plus. So we'll try to get those posted to the Simple Flight fan page so people can check that out, see how good they look on walls and stuff like that. But he wanted to, he actually sent a tweet out and wanted to see and get an explanation on how cool the floating mounts are.
Does he have them, or he wants me to explain it?
Yeah, if you could explain it to the listeners, that would be okay. That'd be awesome.
The float mount is for the metal, and it basically makes the metal look like it's floating about an inch off of the wall. So that, which actually on our homepage right now is a great shot of the metal. You can see the cut there on the corner and the water dripping off of it. So the metal prints look as though they're floating off, and there's some nice mounts on the back that you can just hang onto your wall very, very easily, and they look great.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. They on this gentleman's house and wall in his kitchen, it looks looks pretty slick. I definitely
awesome.
Love it. Yeah, yeah. We'll tweet some pictures out for everybody. But it, you know, outside of you know, kind of the aviation art and is how your company progresses, you know, do you have any creative inspiration for things beyond, you know, airport diagrams and you know, travel things, or is this just going to be kind of like your hobby?
I think it'll probably be who knows what the future holds, really, but I think even as you were insinuating earlier, it gets a little bit complicated to even with the options we have now. So there's something I like about this being more simple, and it's related to airports and air travel and keeping it a little more on the simple side rather than just continuing to add more and more designs. But we do have some new ideas for some prints and designs that I think are pretty cool. And actually, I think they're really cool. So I'll be excited to see what people think of those with some kind of different lines. But still, everything related to airports, I think, in one way or another, or travel.
Cool. Yeah. I think it'd be cool to see some, like, control towers, you know, just like silhouettes of control towers of different airports.
We're getting a lot of hmms out of Ryan.
I like this.
Yeah, definitely. And we'd love to hear from our listeners if there's anything that that you think that 08 Left and Ryan and his wife should be printing. Anything like AvGeeky or airport related, please let us know. You can use the hashtag SimpleFlight in your tweets and give us a shout out.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking, Al? I'm looking up on our walls here, and we got like an airport thing here, but it's a picture, right? We printed it out. Or no, it was a photo that someone did.
It's too cliche.
It is too cliche. What if you put a little Simple Flight aluminum together for us with our logo and put it right up here?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Now we're thinking.
But now we're going to make it complex for he and his wife. I don't think he wants that. No. Stick with it.
No, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, right. It's got an airplane in the logo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, you mentioned the I don't know if it's copyright or the legal issues potentially internationally. Obviously, there's no issue in taking these airport diagrams and putting them on, or did you have to go through some process to get approval to do that?
I think we're in good shape there. There's just to be honest, I think we're in good shape anywhere. It's just international is another level, and I just want to be careful.
Sure, sure.
So it's internet. It's just a whole big world out there. So it's just kind of another stage and another level of complication. So we're trying to be careful and do everything the right way. So
yeah. Oh, that's this is cool. I mean, somebody just tweeted out. So a couple days ago, I did this flight to Milwaukee with Laura Yole from the Aviation Universe and a student of mine who just passed his check ride this week.
Yay, congratulations.
Which is outstanding.
And
a tweet came in from Laura at Aviation Universe and said, I think we need to celebrate our Milwaukee AvGeekation with this awesome 08 Left Milwaukee lunchbox.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing, and it's cool. I want to, like, go back to, you know, start over at first grade and, like, get a new lunchbox for, you know, for every year.
You want to go back to...
Everyone needs a lunchbox. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and the thing Al didn't tell you, that first grade were the best 3 years of his life.
Yeah. That's right. It was. They were. That's where I learned how to take naps, yeah, eat lunch, and play dodgeball.
Where's my blanket? Right, I'm laying down now. No, it's the dodgeball game. We played kickball, by the way.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. That's,
yeah, definitely. Well, Ryan, this stuff is like really, really awesome. And I think we got a couple of special announcements for our listeners here. One, we got a little contest coming up where you've graciously donated a favorite airport pick. So make sure everybody keep the Facebook page for 08 Left and check out Simple Flight Net. Make sure to like that and tweet, because we'll be posting a contest where everybody can enter to win an airport picture. But you also have another special announcement for our listeners tonight.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. That's right. We put in the, if you use the coupon code SIMPLEFLIGHT, you get 20% off any purchase, and that is good through the end of the month.
Awesome. Well, that's really cool. So everybody get... Yeah, Al wants a lunchbox. I'm just throwing that out there. Let's see if one shows up. No, I'm just kidding.
They might, Al. Although you guys, I've noticed a lot of things you've been asking for in this radio show, so I'm not sure which ones to send you.
Great. I'm going to get a banana.
Exactly. So, well, that's incredibly generous of you and your wife to offer that out to our listeners and all that. And we'll definitely push that and hopefully get some more exposure for you guys. And this is just like plain good old fashioned fun.
Well,
I love it.
That's the exact word I was thinking, and certainly Ryan mentioned it as well. And they're having fun, and it makes us have fun. So, you know, congratulations at such a young age to, like you say, work having fun. It's a wonderful thing, and I think
you've
really hit upon something, because as we all know, while we are a very small community, we're a very passionate and active community in aviation, and I think this is a winner.
Very true. Thank you very much. Thanks for even having me on. It's been really fun.
Yeah. No, this is great. Well, Ryan, thank you so much, and hopefully we see you at Oshkosh. If you need any help with coordinating any of that, just let us know, and we'll do our best to point you in the right direction, give a hand, and everything like that. So
I will definitely do that, and maybe in touch with you sooner than later.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, Ryan.
All right, well, go enjoy a Breaking Bad episode, and we'll be talking with you soon.
All right, Alan, Mark, thank you very much. It's been
great.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
I want to do this.
Yeah, this is just it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's cool. And you start to think of, like, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking of how much fun Ryan has to have just by and his wife. You know, thinking of like, oh, where all this stuff can go. Like, you know, just imagine if you had like,
well, they came away with a bunch of new ideas too.
Yeah, right.
And so that these wonderful designs just may end up in a lot of places besides fruit.
Yeah. It's awesome. So I don't know. I think this is great. I definitely have some things on my 08 Left bucket list, if you will.
It's very reasonably priced.
Yeah,
right?
it really is.
Some of the things that we talk about, anything that says aviation, you know, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, this is something when my family says, "What do you want for your birthday?" or stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Now I can say, "Oh, you can afford this."
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
get me one of these.
Yeah, I love it. We've gone from the spectrum of a G650 earlier right? in the show, which is like what is that, $60 million, down to $29.95.
I think I saw something for $22.95.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Everybody can participate in aviation. So
and wants to and should.
Yes, definitely. So I want to hear a little bit more about Sun and Fun.
You know, I don't know if I should be embarrassed or just come out and say, hey, I'd never flown that far in miles. I've been on an Archer flight round trip in a day for 8.5 hours, just to actually almost 9 hours to Cleveland and back. So I've been in an airplane a long time, but actually to go down to Florida was kind of not a bucket list item, but something I wanted to do. But I came back not talking about the flight as much as I did about the Sun and Fun experience. I've been to Oshkosh. I had not been to Sun and Fun and heard good things about it. This was its 40th anniversary. And it was perfect. It was great weather, you know, 80s, clear skies, a breeze, a light breeze. Great people. I was there on Thursday, and I thank the folks at AOPA who invited me out to speak about starting a flying club. Met several people there, met some fans there, met some people that knew other members. And then just to walk around and see guests that we've had. I met John and Martha King. I met, is it Andrew from iFlight Planner?
Yeah.
And his team. We had some wonderful conversations, saw it, went over to 4Flight. Actually, Fly This Sim. They, you know, one of our former guests, they've come out with a helicopter sim.
Really?
With three... Like, you get on the back of the door, those big mirrors.
Yeah.
Screens like that, right, in a trifold, like, for a helicopter sim. It was awesome.
Right.
Right? To see what all these people are doing was just exciting, and there were smiles on everyone's face. The aircraft shows were close. You were standing right next as they taxied.
Wow.
By... Blue Angels, this was something I had never seen. Gosh, I'm just like a kid here with a candy. Let me go.
Yeah.
But the Blue Angels, before they perform, they, in essence, mark their territory, I'll call it.
Yeah.
And to listen to them, all of a sudden they're flying along at a half a mile and a mile, and they go right on their wingtip, and they basically say what they see. And to hear someone say, 2 miles, okay, then you hear them say, lake with half of it fungus, or, right? Blue house with the blue roof.
Yeah.
And he was just calling them, and they just left and right and going right over the crowd. It wasn't like they were over the runway and were protected from them like you see so much. They were going right over our heads.
That's
just going
cool.
Left and right. It was just exciting. And I have to give, with all the neat things I saw, one of the ones from an airplane manufacturer that I just thought was so cool, Epic.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They're going to have this certified plane in 2015.
Yeah.
What an awesome airplane. I mean, something that I'll never probably get to pilot. Hopefully someday maybe even sit in one.
Yeah.
But have you seen it?
I have seen those. And those, oh, my God, those are beautiful planes.
They're beautiful. And inside, I felt, you know, they had a mock-up or whatever, you know, without the wings and all. But you felt like you were in this huge plane because you sit kind of low to the windows, and so you felt this expansive cabin, and the cockpit, everything was just awesome. And I just can't wait till these guys come out with a certificated airplane.
Yeah.
Right? And this would be, I don't know if we call it a Pilatus killer, but certainly can do a lot of things. It certainly is, in their mind, a TBM killer. And, you know... Well, the proof will be in the pudding, but I was just impressed not only with them, but with all of them. Like you mentioned, Open Airplane was down there.
Yeah.
Andrea Verneau from Airfare America.
Really? Did you get to meet her?
I did not get to meet her, but I read the news within the last week that, you know, they're going to forward with that Airfare America TV show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
King Air was there with the Beechcraft that, we have just hit the 50th anniversary of the King Air.
Yeah.
Right? With the 90 in January of January 20th, 1964 was the first King Air flight.
Cool.
Yeah. So, like I say, I came away energized and excited. And then in retrospect, as I tell you and as I was actually sending out an email to the club members today about it, I hadn't talked about the flight. And the flight was cool. To be in an airplane, it was 5.5 hours come back because we went a little longer.
Yeah.
Distance on the way down, it was longer. But the things I saw, the things we did, the experiences, and maybe if we have time, I got to shut up here and let you talk. There was some funny moments and some just great logbook experiences.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think not being able to make it down there, it's really a joy to see all this stuff unfold on social media, and you can see who kind of has presence, who has not, and everything like that. There was one quote, so it was pretty cool to see like the interaction and the excitement that the Blue Angels brought, right? It felt like this was kind of like the debut back into like the aviation yeah. circuit, right? And you know, with a great performance, and they seem to have a different tone a little bit from a social media standpoint, where they're like up in front interacting with the crowd and, like you said, you know, kind of just right overhead and, you know, having a great time. And there was one quote, I think it was on the Finer Points of Flying's Facebook page, that I think Jason Miller had interviewed them, and he asked, how has being a pilot with the Blue Angels made you better or safer beyond that of a normal active duty flight training? And the Blue Angel pilot said, "We do not pursue safety. We pursue excellence. In everything we do, even in the way we live our lives, we achieve safety incidental to that pursuit."
Wow, that is very cool.
Isn't that when you start to sit back and stand back for a second and like think about that.
Yeah. Well, wow. I've seen videos. I did the old Breakfast with the Blue Angels from the Chicago Air and Water Show a few
right.
years back, and the videos and the things about how they brief and debrief and how self-critical they are for not achieving excellence. You know, I need to do this better. I did this. And then they finish with every statement they make, and I'm glad to be here. Right? It's very,
yeah.
very cool. But I don't want to just talk about the Blue Angels, but the Raptor was back too.
Cool.
Yeah, to see that thing perform, I mean, it makes you proud. Right? By the way, totally separate. There had been problems, I thought, with the oxygen system
yeah,
or something there.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that?
I don't know. I know the entire fleet was grounded for a while.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised to see it, because I'd never heard any resolution.
Yeah. Well, if any listeners out there know what the solution or the resolution of the Raptor issue was and when that came about, we'd love to get that figured out. Yeah, make sure to tweet us, #SimpleFlight. Give us a hand to help shed some light on that a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, while I was down there, I saw a Liberty. You remember the Liberty? It's not LSA, but the Liberty aircraft. It's a two-seater trainer, but IFR certified. Do you remember that airplane?
The Liberty. Yes, yeah, yes, yes, I do.
Yeah. So Discovery Aviation or Discover Aviation bought them.
Oh, cool.
So they're back producing airplanes. Obviously, Mooney is. It's like, general aviation is alive and well was the message coming out of there. The crowds were bigger than ever before. And Thursday was somewhat intimate, but then you could tell for the weekend. And I came back on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern time, taking off with a ground fog that was closing in on 00. But I felt we could get back in. It was a little bit better than that, and there was a VFR airport just to the east. But it was amazing. So.
Yeah, no, that's so cool to see all this stuff. It just makes me more excited for Oshkosh and things like that. I definitely have that booked and carved out on my schedule.
You didn't make it last year, right?
No, I didn't. I was out flying around, which is still great, but I'm like, oh, man, you know, you feel really bummed out seeing all this stuff go on at Twitter.
Well, I didn't think you were that excited about Oshkosh, but maybe now you are, or maybe you were then. It just seemed like you were saying it's Oshkosh.
No, I think Oshkosh itself, like the air show, I'll be honest, I don't really get excited for. You know, just
right.
seeing like, you know, everybody do flips and everything like that and loops and lazy eights and stuff like that. I that's just me personally. You know, I was more in it for kind of the AvGeek experience, because there's so many people out there, you know, just roaming around tweeting and meeting up. And, you know, we have so many friends in the aviation world that, you know, and we talk about this a lot on the show, is that, you know, we've never met face to face, right?
Right. Well, that was so cool about this time, right? I kept bumping into people, and I had never met John and Martha before. And that was funny. The next night, Friday night, we went out to dinner, a very nice steak place down there. And there's John King coming in to have dinner there. Well, we were
cool.
there. Yeah, it was cool. So anyway, may I do a digression here and tell you a quick little story?
Yeah.
This is either going to make me sound like an idiot, or it's going to make people laugh, or it's going to be both.
Sure.
But we landed at this private air park, right, in West Palm area.
Yeah.
And it makes me laugh still thinking about it. So we land, and it's a beautifully paved runway. It says it's turf if you look it up, but it was paved. But the taxiways leading to all the houses with all the hangars is turf. Yeah. So we didn't know where we were going because we only had an address. You couldn't see the address from the runway. But we saw, oh, there's the main terminal building at the middle of the field. So let's go over there. And as we're taxiing in, we see a little dirt, lack of a better term, pothole.
Right.
So the pilot in command was, and we were in an SR-22, and he kind of steers left to go around it with the nose wheel because we didn't want to get the nose wheel stuck, and the right main gets stuck in it, and all we can do is go in circles at that point. So right. So he gets out. Another guy that, again, I mentioned earlier, 5 airplanes, 2 helicopters, nice, driving by in his car. He says, hey, you're stuck? Yeah. So he comes and brings his supercharged golf cart that with a tow bar and pulls us out. All right, no big deal. So then he shows us where the house where we're going to park the plane overnight, and our pilot is taxiing over, and there's a crown of hard turf, but just off the side it gets soft, and with the Cirrus, you know, it's not a steerable nose wheel. He got a little left, he gets stuck. So okay, this is all late afternoon. So the guy brings his vehicle over again, pulls us out, gets us in the hangar, and now we're thinking, we got to do this at 5:30 in the morning because we're going to leave by 6 in the morning. And
yeah.
We didn't want to wake anybody up. So we get there. The owner of the house said, hey, just, you know, close the door after you're done. Don't worry. But what everyone suggested is just that it's going downhill. Both of you kind of pull on the aircraft's tow bar and get it up onto the taxiway.
Yeah.
It gets stuck. Right?
Oh, man.
Coming out. So we were out of the hangar, and there was a lot of collectibles in there, so we closed the hangar door so we wouldn't have any prop blast into the collectibles of what this gentleman collected. And the pilot revs it up and gets up on the taxiway, right? So we're okay. But it's pitch black, not a light around. So he turns on his landing light. I'm outside. I grab a flashlight.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't stay in the center, he's going to get stuck in a ditch.
Yeah.
So I've got this flashlight, and I'm going to shine exactly where the middle of the taxiway is. So he starts going. He's going pretty fast. So now I'm running down this taxiway with a flashlight over my shoulder. And he's basically, and I can't see this, he's basically saying he can't slow down, so I either better drop and roll,
yeah,
stop, or get the hell out of his way. But I'm running down this taxiway, and it must have been the funniest thing to see me with an airplane chasing me. Oh my God. Again, I probably didn't do the story justice, but we were cracked up so much laughing, and I never was in real danger, but sometimes it felt like he was gaining on me.
Whew.
And I've never run so hard at 5:30 in the morning with an airplane on my tail, but we took off, and it was one of those stories that you'll never forget, right? So the whole event was memorable.
That's cool.
Sorry for taking so long.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. I mean, those are stories, and like, that's the content in your logbook of what needs to, you know, that like you wish you could fit in the remarks section. Sometimes they don't, you know, leave enough space in that to get that going. But it'd be cool to start putting like little videos into your like electronic logbook. And man, I wish I could have caught that and be like, sign that as dual given in your logbook with a video of you just getting chased. That'd be hilarious.
Down the thing, yeah. And I was worried, you know, we hear these people, no one was up at 5:30.
Yeah.
Right? And here we've got a 310-horse engine revving to get unstuck first and then to be taxiing down. It was funny.
That is. That's hilarious.
And you've seen some videos. But it was too dark, and I wasn't thinking about that then.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, it was a great trip. We found gas at $4.95. I think that was the other part that I liked about the trip was stopping at a place that was in the middle or had cheap gas and meeting the people. And it just like the folks at the aviation community, everyone's got the exact same stories about how they love airplanes.
Right, yeah. Right?
And so I think for me, and maybe people didn't notice, I kind of had a lull, but it kind of re-energized me around general aviation, the whole trip did.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm glad that's what it's there for, and Sun and Fun and things like that, and cool things like that. What was the hashtag that everybody was using? I think it was hashtag SNF14, maybe?
I believe that was
I think that was it for Sun and Fun. You could look back on that on Twitter and search that a little bit, and you'll see the good times. And you know, I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of podcasts, other podcasts, and blog articles where people talk about this stuff. So it'd be great to see, and I hope to see everybody at Oshkosh this year for sure. But hey, you were speaking about something about cheap gas in Tennessee, and there was, you know, so last week I brought up the story that kind of happened. Excuse me, it happened to me last. I guess it's now 2 weeks ago, but we were in the King Air, and we had an issue with the oil dipsticks, right?
Right, and you got a lot of positive remarks about admitting to what could have been a very dangerous situation, and we all learned from it. So kudos to you, because the aviation public really appreciated you coming forward with the story.
Well, I don't know. You know, just hopefully somebody learned something, and I just learned to. Well, it's time. Yeah, I'm already an idiot, so just make yourself look like an idiot even more. I forgot to put the dipstick in, whatever. But it's something that could easily be avoided. But anyway, so no, there was this whole thing about external pressures, right? So there was an external pressure of us having a really high-pressure trip. We wanted to go. Everybody's buttoned up. This flight really needed to happen. We had a clearance void time and everything like that. Well, that was one. But I ran into another set of external pressures I never thought would even really exist, and that was in the King Air this week again. Luckily this one turned out really, really well, I think. But we were out flying, and we were at a FBO, and we came in. Wednesday night, I believe it was. So we came in Wednesday night, and we landed at this particular FBO, and we asked for our airplane to be refueled that night. So we gave our fuel order. We did our weight and balance for the morning and everything like that. We gave our fuel order, and they said, okay, no problem. Well, I come back the next morning, and we cash out. We pay our fuel bill. We get our ramp fees and, you know, parking fees and things like that paid up, and which is great. And we took, the fuel bill matched what we thought we would be uploading. And, have you ever been to an FBO where they need to, like, buzz you out, right?
Sure,
it's pretty the case everywhere. So I'm standing at this door waiting to be buzzed out, and the FBO lady, you know, I turn around to look at the FBO lady to see if I could get buzzed out, and I hear on the radio from the line guys say, our King Air, they rattled off her tail number saying, hey, they took their fuel order that we just uploaded 158 gallons of fuel, which they had just uploaded. But what was funny is that we had already paid our bill, so there was like a little disconnect, and the lady buzzes me out, and I walk out. And I could hear her as I'm like walking out the door. She's like, "Well," saying to the line guy over the radio, said, "Hey, they've already actually paid for all their fuel, so that's probably not them." And then the door shut behind me, and I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." So I walk out to the plane, and there's a line guy standing there, and he says, "Hey, you wanted a complete top off of your fuel tanks, right?" And "No." And they're like, "Oh, well, okay. That's all right. Well, we topped it off, so that's fine." And I'm like, "Well, no, it's actually not fine, because, you know, now we're in a weight and balance situation." So the guy, it was kind of a cold, rainy day, and, you know, I felt really bad for the line guys, because I think they were just realizing that they had, like, really messed up. That in the King Air, that you have four fuel tanks. You have outboard fuel tanks, which are commonly referred to as the main tanks, and then you have auxiliary fuel tanks, which are what they call the inboard fuel tanks. And, we had wanted our outboard or our main fuel tanks topped off, and our auxiliary fuel tanks to be left dry, because, you know, we can't top it off with all these people that we're carrying around. So anyway, we get out, and you know, the guy says, "Hey, we just topped off all of your tanks. Your outboards were topped off, but your inboards weren't, so we just topped them off." And I'm like,
"Nice."
I'm like, "That's not the fuel order that we wanted." And so he goes, he's like, "Oh, well, okay." Well, he's like, "Sorry, you know, I guess that's our mistake." I'm like, "Well, you know, you're gonna have to get that fuel off somehow." He's like, "Well, we don't really have a way of getting it off." And I'm like, "Well, we don't really have a way of taking off with this many, you know, with this fuel, with the airplane completely topped off." So to give you a perspective, we would have been 1,600 pounds overweight.
Wow.
If we were going to take off. So I told the guy, I'm like, "Hey, let me, you know, give me a minute. Let me go inside, like, in the plane." It was raining, and, you know, I'm in my, like, work dress clothes and everything. And I said, "Let me go pull out my iPad, rework the numbers, see if this thing can work or not." I knew that it couldn't, so I pull out the iPad, and sure enough, it shows 1,600 pounds overweight. And so I go out to the guy and say, "Hey, you know, I'm sorry, you know, but that fuel's going to have to come off somehow." So he's like, "Oh, darn it." So then a couple of minutes later, he comes back. He says, "Hey, we'll discount the fuel for you." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, that's nice of you, but we really can't, you know. I'd love to take cheap gas if we can, or, you know, I'd even be happy to, you know, take full tanks and pay retail price for it if I could take it, or we could take it, but we can't. We just can't." And I'm sitting there. The guy's like, "Oh, darn it!" And he runs off again.
I have a feeling he wasn't saying "darn it."
Yeah, that's the PG-13. Yeah. Well, so anyway. A couple minutes later, he disappears, and a couple minutes later, it's like he comes back out and says, "Hey, my manager said we'll give you the fuel for free." And I was like, you know, I told him, I'm like, "I would, you know, once again, I'd love to take the fuel. I'd be willing to pay for it, but we can't. We just can't. We're going to 1,600 pounds overweight and all that." So he just kept going back and forth, and they had, you know, and trying to figure out how to get this off. And I said, "I'm sorry, you know, we just can't take it." But I found it so weird, or so interesting, not weird, but very interesting to find, like, you know, and here's an external pressure, right? You know, that we talked about, you know, during the whole oil dipstick thing. And here's another external pressure where, like, an FBO messes up on fueling your airplane. And then here they are, they're trying to pressure you into making a bad, you know, a bad decision with an incentive of, you know, I guess a good thing of free or discounted fuel.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Okay, you basically told the guy, "If I do this, people are going to die." And he says, "Okay, then it's free." Right? That makes
sense. Yeah, yeah.
Does that make it better?
Yeah, right. Okay, it's free. Right. No, but it was really strange. And, you know, like, and, you know, having this thing, you know, in my mind, or this oil dipstick thing kind of fresh in my mind. I was like, "Hey, you know what? I'm sticking to my guns on this one." You know, like, it'd be weird to figure out how many people would actually, you know, I was talking about this with my coworker, you know, if somebody incented you, like, to top off, they topped off your tanks, as a mistake, but then they offered to give you the gas for free, would you go? Would you take it?
Well, what's even more funny in this case, and the answer is no, not if it's a safety issue, but you're not even paying for the fuel. Your employer is, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm a pilot, right? I'm not paying for it.
Right, exactly.
So I guess the question is, that, you know what, if people can afford an airplane like that, they can afford the fuel too.
Yeah.
I just can't see anyone accepting that.
Right.
I might be naive. I just don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, it's interesting. Well, let's say you're an operator, right, and you have, you know, I could easily see it where people could do it. You know, the King Air, it has a very good reputation of carrying, you know, or just, you know, not necessarily carrying everything you can put in it, but, you know, it's a very rugged machine. You know, right. The military, the military actually has a waiver for an increase of the gross weight, right? So, and with no modification other than paperwork modifications. You know, so you can, you know, this thing goes up to like 14,000 pounds or 14.5, something like that. And with no modifications to the engines or interior or anything like that, it's just a formality. And it's just like, you think like, wow, you know, if a pilot were to know that, right, and know that this thing could carry it, right, if he just had a paperwork modification, and somebody's offering you 100 and, you know, almost 160 gallons of free fuel.
Well, and plus,
wow.
And then plus the other pressure is you have passengers that are saying it's time to leave, and you, instead of wait 3 hours for them to defuel the airplane.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So on the backside of this, like handling the passengers, you know, it was kind of a bad weather day, and you know, it was, you know, when they showed up to the FBO, they're all roaring, ready to roll, and it's just like, hey, you know, you have to, I guess, stand your ground a little bit, right? And you just be like, hey, here's the situation, lay it out, you know, here's your options, right? You know, that's one thing that I always found that's in when flying around passengers as a pilot, you know, you just present the options to the people and let them decide, right? So now it's their decision and things like that. And
well, it's funny, you know, that, and I mentioned taking off from Lakeland with the ground fog. I thought of you. I thought of you on that oil thing, and I'm saying to myself, we couldn't go yesterday because of the severe weather in the way between Lakeland and Chicago, the severe icing, the severe turbulence, the squall line that was there, at least in the morning. It did break up in the afternoon, but we didn't know that. So we decided to delay at expense and all. And I'm sitting here thinking, if this goes 0-0 or close to it, below minimums, do I want to take off, even though the rest of the trip, for most part, will be VFR?
Right.
Because I was taught you don't take off there, even though it's legal, because if you have an issue on takeoff and you need to get right back down, if you can't shoot an approach there, you're stuck.
Right.
So I was thinking about your situation, and it wasn't 0-0, and they were reporting 300, and at minimums were 250. So I had 50 feet, and the visibility was restricted, but within minimums.
Yeah.
But it was rolling in, and it looked like it was coming down as we were taxiing out there. And then I did notice a VFR airport just to the east. But I was wondering, am I being stupid here? Because if I just get by this one little takeoff, I'm home free. And I don't have to delay another day or whatever it was going to be.
Right, yeah.
Right. And again, I felt I had the out. I felt the weather was such that I could get back in. If we had a door pop or something that I wanted to land back at Lakeland, I could.
Right, exactly.
And we were IFR. So it all worked out, but base bottom line is your oil story impacted me to make sure, is this the right thing to do?
Wow. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got, took away some from that, I guess.
I did check the oil cap twice.
Yeah. You know, actually somebody, shortly after, I think a day or two after that show aired, one of our Simple Flight listeners, he sent me an email and said he questioned one of his, I guess he operates a flight school out of the Northeast, and he said he asked one of his customers, who is a senior Delta captain, about something like that, and said, "Hey, was it easy as an airline captain to make decisions of like, hey, you have a light come on, or you as a captain have to make a command call to cancel a flight or screw all these people in the back over or something like that?" And he said the Delta, I think he's a pilot. And he said that it was actually quite easy. And the reason was because you had no emotional connection between, you know, the passengers. Right. So, you know, and I thought that brought up a really interesting point of like, you know, you could easily say no, or we're not going, because, you know, you kind of have like an unbiased or unjaded view on whatever you're looking at, because, you know, there's little emotional personal connection to the passengers. There's doors shut behind you, you know what I mean? And it kind of like leaves you in your little thinking room to just say, yep, nope, we're not going.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I believe I mentioned on air a buddy of mine who's an MD-80 captain for American. You know, if the plane isn't the right temperature for the passengers there, I guess he did feel a little connection, he won't go.
Right.
You know, you got to get the cabin. We're not going to let people on until they can be on comfortably.
Right.
So I love that when those people that don't feel the pressure to go and feel pressure only to do what's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
By the way, I guess a little bit of digression as we hear talk a little bit more, going back to the Sun and Fun, a couple other things that happened that are about the good people that you meet just talking there. One guy was one of the performers. He was getting or just returning a rental car. We were returning ours, and he says, "Yeah, I fly at Pitts and all that." And he was flies for an airline, and just how nice he was and how focused he was on, you know, when we talked about weather and why we were staying, about, again, it was all about good decision making and not letting these outside factors get in the way.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool from that I came away with there too, because this guy's a performer and he was going into the weather. Some of us were thinking of avoiding, and he told us, "Hey, you know, I'm going to go, and if we run into stuff that we don't like, we'll just stop. You know, it's okay." And then he tells me, "Well, I don't only fly a Pitts and a Twin Comanche. I also fly like a." They don't still fly L-1011s, do they?
No.
No.
Not.
Maybe a. What did he have? I forget what he flew. I thought he said no. Maybe an MD-11? I don't know.
Yeah.
I forget. But he was with the airlines. So he takes the exact same philosophy, whether it's GA or the airlines. He only has one standard by which he flies, and it was very much on the safety side. And just like you said, had no problem making a good decision.
Right.
But understood his out. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you know who else I met, by the way?
Who?
When I say Turbo Commanders or Aero Commanders, and I say Peoria, Illinois, what do you think of?
Byerly.
There you go. I met Bruce Byerly.
Wow.
Yeah, we were just sitting in the FBO. He was flying an Aero Commander home with his family. I guess he's out of the business in Peoria.
Yeah.
And runs Naples Jet Center. Nicest guy in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We were just chatting. He was talking about Chicago airports and, you know, the people that we know here. He was talking a lot about FBOs.
Really?
Not necessarily the one that you expressed displeasure with on the fueling system.
Right.
But he said, "You come to Naples Jet Center and we'll treat you right," kind of thing.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's cool. I'm going to be down there actually.
I'll send a message that you're coming.
Yeah, well, that'd be cool to go check that out. And
just a wonderfully nice man.
Everything. That's pretty cool. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So here I am back on Sun and Fun. I'm still smiling about Sun and Fun, in case people can't tell.
Yeah. For if you were in our flying club, you would have gotten your email box and bombarded by Mark saying all this cool stuff about.
I sent
about
one email.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was good. I mean, that is a compliment too. No, I do.
Yeah, every time I hear the word bombarded, oh yeah, that's pretty positive.
Yeah, no, but about cool Sun and Fun stuff, and it's actually a really cool.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, great.
And it was cool to see that you connected with some of our listeners,
and I bumped into people that are members of the club. I bumped into friends. I bumped into new friends. To your point about the AvGeek thing at Oshkosh, it was raging there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I ate a lot of pizza.
Wow. Do you think, what's the official food of, like, flyouts like that at Oshkosh?
You know, everything I noticed there was food on a stick.
Nice.
Okay,
corn
you
dogs?
Want a corn dog on a stick, a hot dog on a stick, chicken on a stick. Everything was food on a stick.
Yeah.
And maybe even could have gotten a banana with 0.8 left on a stick. I don't know.
A frozen banana.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that show Arrested Development?
Maybe once. I certainly knew of it. That was an HBO show, right?
Fox. I don't know. I can't remember where it was on, but that was another like Netflix binge and the reserve days at the airline. But it was funny. It was just some of the first episodes. Everybody was always like, "It's in the banana stand. It's in the banana stand." And I don't know why your thing of
because I said the word banana.
Yeah, right. It's in the banana stand.
So where are you flying to this week?
This week, let's see, we got some cool lessons coming up, and then King Air going back out to Doylestown, which is pretty cool. Apparently, you know, it's funny. My boss out there said that there was the day after, the 2 days after, there's a pretty big dark spot sitting on the ramp where that morning of the oil stick issue, you know. It's funny. I think it'll take a while for that oil to wash away on the ramp.
Well, and this week I don't have anything planned, right? Because I just put, for my part of it, just in flying alone, 5.5 hours, 6 hours total time on the engine, 6.4.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things that I said in this email you referenced, that people should do something new, because this was new for me. You know, I have my 1,200-1,300 hours private instrument, and I move beyond the $100 hamburger as much as I love it. And I thought, yeah, I'm getting the right kind of value from aviation, because I go visit my kids in it, and other people should do that. But this was a new experience for me, and I'm telling others, go do this, because you'll get a much bigger smile. You'll feel so much better about aviation to do something new in it. And then I start adding it up financially. And it's tough to do.
Yeah.
Right? So where do you draw the line?
That's a good question. You know, when you start adding that up, I mean, like, that's part of the reason why, you know, that flying down to Sunify, I know you guys invited me, but man, I don't think I, that's a pretty significant chunk of change, right? Mm-hmm. Going down there. And, I don't know. That's a tough call.
But, you know, I kept thinking, and I've said many times before, if you added it up financially, and if that was kind of like a deal breaker, you wouldn't fly very much.
Right.
Right? But it makes you feel so good, or makes me feel so good, and I know I share that feeling with others. And I don't know. It's really got to be tough for people, and I don't know what the line is. I don't know how you make that decision, because you know, we talked to Ryan tonight.
Yeah.
It's a dream of his.
Right.
How, if it's a dream, and yes, there's limitations, but if it's within your reach, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, how do you, it's, I don't know, I guess it's very, I'm divided on this now.
Yeah.
Because food, you got to take care of your family, got to take care of your education for your kids, food, clothing, and shelter, all these things. Where does flying fit in that budget? Where does happiness for doing the things that you want come into the decision-making process?
Yeah, right. You know, that's a really, really great question. And I think that there's, I go back and forth on that, right? You know, I haven't rented an airplane in a long time, which is, you know, kind of strange, but it's weird. You know, I haven't really chosen my own, you know, a destination for where we go, chosen the destination of an airplane for a while. Everybody else gets to do the flying, and, you know, I fly nearly every day, and, like, there's the $100 hamburger thing, you know, doesn't really interest me in, like, you know, renting an airplane and flying to get a hamburger and coming back, which, you know, which is probably different for you, right? You would love to rent an airplane, and, you know, certainly you've got missions, but, you know, part of your mission bank is, you know, to go out and get like a hamburger or pancakes,
well,
or things like that.
It gives it a reason.
Right.
I just want to fly. If the hamburger went there or whatever, I'd be okay. Although I enjoy sitting down with geek friends.
Yeah.
Right. It's the complete package, and it helps me do it relative. I don't have to fly 5 hours. I can fly 30 minutes and get the experience. And then I fly an hour to go see the kids, or 2 hours to see my other son. But it gets more expensive as you add these things. Now, in terms of financially reconciling it and rationalizing it, we just got a tweet here. He says, what I do is I compare the price between a last-minute first-class ticket and renting the airplane.
Yeah.
So when you got that, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness, it's $10,000 to fly to Madison, Wisconsin, so it's okay for me to do this.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Well, this is great stuff. I like it. But anyway, so we got a great lineup of upcoming guests and shows and everything like that, which is really cool. We need to have the guys from Bold Method come back on the show here at some point and talk about some of their cool blog articles and, you know, outline a gray area issue that's been going on with aviation. But more importantly, for featured guests and everything, next week we're going to have Rod Rakic of Open Airplane on the show, which they announced something huge at Sun and Fun.
Yeah, I saw him, and we were talking with Mike, the owner of the SR-22 that I took, and Mike was there, and do we want to break the surprise here, or do we want to wait till next week before I talk too much?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, go ahead. It's already been broken.
Yeah, it's in the news. So, what he, of course, with Open Airplane is focused on has always been, how do I go to different flight schools and get checked out ahead of time, like a car rental? I'm in the Open Airplane system. I'm in Chicago, and I fly to Arizona, but I'm checked out in 172s, Archers, Cirrus, whatever, and you can go to the local Open Airplane facility, if you will, that's signed up with Open Airplane, and have it be able to rent a plane without getting checked out.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, but now what he's introduced is to take that same experience to the private owner.
Yeah.
So now the private owner can say, I want to be in, and people can fly my airplane.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
That is awesome. And I was kind of thinking about that today. I was like, hey, does anybody have a twin, in this need for a twin engine airplane? And I was thinking, I'm like, oh, that's just kind of weird how, you know, I guess there are twins out there and for rent at some flight schools, but they're really expensive. And I wonder if this would lower the price in something or things like that on all this, but I don't know. But that's really cool that people have been able to, be given this opportunity to go out and introduce their own personal airplane into the Open Airplane Network.
Yeah, I think Rod, kudos to him. And again, I think one of my positive feelings leaving Sun and Fun was all the entrepreneurs that are believe in this. I mean, even tonight's guest, Ryan Miller, that.
Right.
You know, is out there just having fun. And by the way, now I've got a business that kind of can take me to where I need to be.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's very exciting.
And very exciting.
Makes me wish I had done more of that. But, still time.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's,
that's Rod.
Yeah. So we got Rod. We have a lady named Karen from Commemorative Air Force. And she's going to be coming on and talking about some of the cool things the Commemorative Air Force is doing.
And why not? We should also have Adam on the same night.
Yeah, we well, we could definitely reach out to him. What was cool is that we had booked this lady before the Adam's big announcement. So
yeah,
that was,
he's working. Yeah. We're talking about Adam Smith, formerly of AOPA.
Yeah, absolutely.
I talked to Adam. He is absolutely having a blast working for Commemorative Air Force. So
that's
excited
cool.
to hear someone else's perspective that obviously you'll feel is somewhat the same.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And some other cool guests down the road. We have Carlene Pettit. She's going to be in town in August. August?
I'm thinking Oshkosh already.
In May. And we're going to do another live on location show at the Aviation Universe. So for those of you who missed out on the fun, get ready to have you got round two.
Yep.
Second chance.
And I can just see it now. Ray. What's your name again? Al will set it up. And at the last minute says, I've got a King Air trip. I can't make it. Mark, will you set everything up, do the show, tear everything down, and I'll just listen in. Better not. This time you're there for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's it's going to be awesome. We have another gentleman who is actually in the audience at our show. At the Aviation Universe, a gentleman named Lee, who is an aviation photographer, and you know how they talked, Laura had talked about all the pictures for the airport watch and all that, go in there and take photos. Well, he kind of hosts a lot of these pictures that people take, and it's kind of a little version of airliners.net, which is it's not airliners.net specifically, but I can't remember the website off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look that up. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's going to be some good showage coming up here. So anyway, we got a lot of people booked. We're booked all the way out till June already, which is really cool. But in the meantime, we encourage everybody to check out our Facebook page and Twitter handle. Join us at SimpleFlightNet and feel free to tweet us and things like that. And post anything AvGeekish. We love it.
By the way, I'm going through my notes of things I wanted to talk about. I saw some good news. Embry-Riddle just put in an order for 57 Cessna Skyhawks. It's always nice to see companies investing in general aviation airplanes, and Embry-Riddle's a terrific thing. So they just 57. That's not a bad number to buy airplanes.
Yeah. I got the website here. Thanks to Laura. She sent a message in. Air Team Images. So check out Air Team Images, and that's definitely a cool website, and it's really kind of a neat story on all that and how people get pretty geeked out with their airplane pictures. It's awesome.
Yeah, which is while someone getting all these tweets, my flight blog Todd says the Rod Rakic thing with Open Airplane seems like a watershed shift in GA. Very exciting. So
yeah. Cool. Oh,
lots of good stuff.
Yes. It's going to be a good summer for GA and everything else and all that. So anyway, what a great show.
Yeah. And we had a couple guests. We got to talk about how excited I am about Sun and Fun.
Yeah.
And got to talk about monogrammed and emblazoned bananas and being chased by airplanes on taxiways.
Yes.
You know, things you just don't get anywhere else.
Right. Exactly. I love it.
Oh, you know who else I saw? Isn't this funny? All of a sudden, I'm remembering all these guys. I want to give a shout-out to Mark Robidoux, who does the pilot workshops and does Pilot Tip of the Week.
Yeah.
Never talked to him before, and I got to sit down with him and Wally Moran, for those of you familiar. What a great guy, and shares the similar philosophy on instructing, so we need to look at getting him on the show. He said he'd be privileged to be on our show at some point.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thanks to Ryan Miller of 08left.com. Check it out. Buy something. Use the coupon code SIMPLEFLIGHT. That's very generous of him. Keep your eyes peeled for some contest for
us. Yeah, so make sure
giveaway.
You like 08left. And, of course, thanks to Janine Iannarelli of Power Avion LTD. For sharing the business update with us for the quarter, and we'll see her again next quarter.
Very good. All right. Well, until next week, it's been a great time and looking forward to it. So until next week, wish you very strong tailwinds.
And sunny blue skies.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.